BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Other Identity. That's right, here in the secret bungalow. I am, of course, the great Landis. And still here is my intrepid sidekick, the Joe Boy.
I feel like we've moved out of the secret bungalow. We have got to be.
What are you talking about?
This is the Fortress of Solitude. It is freezing in here.
Okay, first of all, copyrighted.
Okay. You can't say that.
The Fortress of Frozenness.
We'll workshop it.
Freezitude.
I'd rather take the copyright hit.
We're in the secret bungalow, okay?
Okay, yeah, it's just real cold.
It's just, you know, we had to deal with our ice-based nemesis today.
Dr. Freeze.
No, I'm Dr. I like Doctor. He definitely has a PhD.
Yeah, okay.
But Freeze.
I guess so does Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
He should be Dr. Freeze. Wait a minute. Yeah, hold up now. He is a doctor. You're telling me he doesn't have a PhD? He should be Dr. Freeze.
Oh, whoever just decided to call him Mr. Freeze. Like, that's just rude.
Yeah, I hope that's what he's really mad about. Like, he says it's all about his wife, but he's just sick of being called Mr. Freeze all the time. He's like, I did not go to evil medical school for that many years.
Well, welcome in, everyone. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to talk about any like breaking news or anything like that. Do we want to get the announcement out of the way now?
Yeah, let's start the announcement.
So here's the deal, guys. The Other Identity is going to be taking a season break.
We're not going away this time.
No, just taking another break. I mean, technically, last time ended up just really being a break as well.
Right, but we thought it was the end.
Yeah. we will be coming back in the new year with something all new, all different, something ultimate.
Season two.
Our rebirth, if you will.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Okay.
So don't worry, because we will be back in the new year. But to sort of take us out of this year, what we wanted to do was just talk about some of the stuff that, you know, we're really excited for that's coming in the future.
Yep.
And, you know, why we're excited about it and what our hopes and dreams for it are. So, against my better judgment, I'm going to let you start. And I swear, if you take the one that I'm thinking about,
I'm going to take the one that you're thinking of. I guarantee it. All right. Well, I'm saying Disney Plus.
Now, you can't just pick all of Disney Plus.
Why not?
You have to pick, like, a specific thing.
Okay.
Like a specific movie or show.
Okay. I'll say The Mandalorian. That is for sure the thing I am looking forward to the most on Disney Plus.
You can't even pick a comic book thing.
You want to talk about the Legion of Star Wars comics that I've read?
I mean,
and
they're
all
like,
terrible.
I don't know, Vader and his royal jewels or crown jewels or whatever.
Okay, so there's the crown jewels of Alderaan.
Yeah, those.
That he tries to steal, which doesn't make any sense. They're an elected monarchy, but whatever.
They can still have jewels,
I suppose,
from a crown.
I get that. Okay, you understand that the crown jewels are not jewels that are in someone's crown, right? You're aware of
what?
That, right?
Why are they called the crown jewels,
because
then?
Because they belong to the crown.
But they're not in the crown.
No, they're not in the crown themselves.
That's stupid.
Okay.
That is dumb.
No, they are jewels that belong to the crown. They may be in a scepter. They may be in a brooch.
So they could be in a crown. They could
be crown jewels in a crown.
Okay.
But they aren't. Yes. Yes. There's also Darth Vader and his magic gauntlet that stops blaster bolts. There's also that story,
no,
which is equally
stupid.
As bad.
That's stupid.
But yes, there are tons of Star Wars comics out there. I mean, we're not getting like WandaVision right away, and that's the Marvel thing that I'm super excited for. Like, that's the one that I'm like, I'm in on. I cannot wait for WandaVision. But we have to wait till next year for that one.
I think WandaVision is going to be one of the first ones we get. But yeah, I think
it is next year though, right?
It's like early first or second quarter 2020, I think.
We're going to get an Obi-Wan series too. Mm-hmm. So good. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to the most?
Well, first of all, why The Mandalorian?
So,
and what are your hopes and dreams for it? Mine will be the second segment here.
Okay, fair enough. So The Mandalorian, first of all, I think The Mandalorians are one of the... The Mandalorians are not explored enough in Star Wars because too much of the hype is just around one Mandalorian. It's always about Boba Fett.
Is that not what the show is about? Is The Mandalorian not Boba Fett?
No, it's not Boba Fett.
Oh.
It is a Mandalorian. It's not Boba Fett, though.
So all Mandalorians are like skilled bounty hunters?
Many of them are. So the Mandalorians are a very warlike people. They
Krogans.
Krogans is a very good comparison point to what Mandalorians are, but because their planet has been sacked and basically destroyed by the Sith, and then also by the Jedi, and then by the Sith again.
How do you sack and destroy a planet multiple times? Did they not get it done the first time?
Their planet has been wrought and taken over multiple times. And basically, it's an unlivable wasteland at this point.
So the Krogans.
Yeah. Again, the comparison goes deeper than you'd be happy about. So the result of that is many of the Mandalorians that are left are very capable fighters, and many of them turned to become bounty hunters.
Yeah, if they're not good at surviving, then they died.
And you see it like in Star Wars, Clone Wars and Rebels. There's a whole thing in Clone Wars where Darth Maul like takes over the Mandalorians and leads a Mandalorian army. And then in Rebels, one of the girls on the team is a Mandalorian who gets the Darksaber.
So the Boba Fett armor, that's specifically like Mandalorian.
That is Mandalorian armor
as well.
Armor.
Okay.
So a lot of Mandalorians, everyone thinks it's Boba Fett, but that's just what Mandalorian armor looks like because George Lucas isn't as creative as we like to give him credit for.
Mitochondrians.
Mitochondrians, the powerhouse of the cell.
Midichlorians, the powerhouse of the Force.
There you go. But like even like when you go back and play KOTOR, something that takes place tens of thousands of years ago, guess what all the Mandalorians look like? They look like Boba Fett. Yeah, they're just shinier. Okay. They have like chrome armor instead. That's the only difference. But I am excited to see like more of the Mandalorians than just Boba Fett. Obviously, we've gotten to experience them in some other media occasionally. But I think they can do some interesting stuff with it. And really just, it's a Star Wars story that isn't about a Jedi. So I'm sure Drew Capsharian would love it, but...
Do you think that there will be a Jedi character or Jedi influence?
I think there will probably be a Force-sensitive. I don't think a Jedi. I think someone will probably be Force-sensitive in some way. That is another thing about the Mandalorians, is they aren't Force-sensitive, with the exception of one. One of them was, and he was a very powerful Jedi, who I think also was a gray Jedi, if I recall, but I might be wrong about that. I think there'll be a Force sensitive character, kind of like what we saw in Rogue One, right? They didn't want to have a Jedi because the fundamental problem is when you have a Jedi and the story isn't about the Jedi, you're kind of burying the lead most of the time. So they had a guy who is Force sensitive instead.
Okay.
I think they'll probably go that route with it because it's hard to do Star Wars and just ignore the Force entirely.
So no lightsaber battling?
No. I would say we're more likely to see things like vibroblades or the stun batons that can go up against lightsabers. Might see that. Yeah, exactly that. I don't think we'll see a lot of lightsaber battling, a lot of blaster dueling and stuff like that is what I would expect.
So what's your hopes for The Mandalorian then?
You know what? It's a really good time to be a Star Wars fan right now. I feel as much as like people like to get down on it. Like you've got a game coming out that has some promise for the first time in what, forever?
It
feels like a decade.
Hold on. Because we thought that
Battlefield 1
and Battlefield 2 had promise. So the first time that a game is coming out with promise, no.
First
time that you're hoping it's actually going to be... Nope, that's not it either.
That was about... Okay.
Yeah,
see? You're getting at.
Until it comes out, we don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just because it's a single-player only game where I have some hope for it. Because it's hard to effectively microtransaction a single-player only game.
You know what else was single-player only until you actually got in and realized, look at this. Here is a multiplayer that they said nothing about, and there's microtransactions in it. The first Tomb Raider game when they rebooted it.
The first Tomb Raider game when they rebooted it. Really? I didn't know much about the... Even now, I don't know much about the multiplayer of Tomb Raider.
Because it was terrible.
Oh. Well,
but just
fair.
Because we haven't heard anything...
It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And that's fair. They've had a lot of bad press over the last few years about changing things kind of at the 11th hour.
Who says they're changing anything? Maybe they just haven't talked about it.
Well, but they've billed it as exclusively the opposite, though. They've literally said there's no microtransactions. They've literally said it's a single-player game.
Oh, okay. Well, it could still have a multiplayer component.
It could.
Haven't talked about.
Maybe. Or maybe it gets added in at some point, but I guess we'll see.
I hope they break your heart.
You know what? It might be the one that does me in.
I doubt it. You're too dumb.
I don't know.
Star Wars is your kryptonite, man.
I read about the Alderaanian Crown Jewels and said, I guess I'll read the next book to see if it gets better. Spoiler, it didn't get better in the next book. Now they're like, oh, great. Let's talk about the gem people.
What?
Yeah, you haven't heard about the sentient crystal people?
No.
Oh, they're a race of people that are basically living embodiments of the Force. They're kind of like the only droids that can be Force sensitive because they're like crystal people.
Wait, why are they droids?
They function like when you look at them and you see how they behave, you would think, oh, that's a machine, not a living thing. You know what I mean?
That's dumb.
Yeah. They also said there can't be any Force sensitive droids except for Skippy. There's that one.
What?
OK, do you remember in A New Hope? Do you remember the droid that Luke and his uncle buy before they get R2-D2?
Yeah.
The one that explodes.
Uh-huh.
The one that has a bad motivator. That is Skippy. He is a Force-sensitive droid, and he has a vision that R2-D2 will be the one to help Luke take down the Empire, so he shorts himself out so that they buy R2-D2 instead. That is an actual comic book.
That?
I love the way you look at me, because you always look at me like, he might be making this up as he goes, and it's not. And always telling the truth on these books.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, it's a bad book.
So,
not very good.
Right, so your hopes for The Mandalorian.
So my point is, when I hear things about The Mandalorian and see the trailers, I don't see anything. But my reading the comic books has actually been a blessing in disguise for Star Wars, because my expectations of how bad it can be are so incredibly low. Like, all I have to do is like, okay, as long as there's not a sentient mountain that's really depressed and cries all the time, it's a step up from some of the comics that I've read.
I will have you know that worked in The Neverending Story.
Yes.
Which you haven't seen.
Interestingly, it didn't work in Star Wars. Yeah. It was pretty bad there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm hopeful for The Mandalorian. What would you like to see out of The Mandalorian?
Here's the thing. I see the Star Wars stuff and I enjoy them, but I don't consider myself a fan of it. There's never really been a trailer or anything that I've seen that's got me hyped. I've actually always thought that Star Wars trailers are pretty boring.
Pretty plain.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Wars, I'll say this for Star Wars trailers, because I do agree with you to an extent. Star Wars trailers are the most up their own ass of any, like, trailer of any series ever, where it's just like, oh, we're Star Wars, and this means a lot to you. I can show you very little, and you'll dig apart every little nook
and
cranny of it.
And I don't. I'm just like, oh, okay.
It's like the opposite of a Fast and the Furious trailer now, where they're like, we know what you want to see.
Yeah.
Here's some big explosions.
I wasn't big on episode 7. You know, I was part of the whole, I feel like you guys just, you know, rehashed it. The plots and stuff, which I get the whole idea of history repeating itself and stuff like that. But I thought it was too much of that.
It's fair.
But yeah, I mean, I'll watch it and I'm sure it'll be good, but I don't really have much stake in it.
I mean, that's the thing too, is I feel like Star Wars, and again, if Drew Capsharon was listening to this, I'm sure he'd be so happy. Star Wars is at its best when it's away from the Force. We see that in a lot of series. Like, as good as Clone Wars was, a lot of people like Rebels a lot more. And there are Jedi in Rebels. There is both Ezra and Kanan.
Mm-hmm.
However, a lot of people's favorite characters are not the Jedi. A lot of people like Harrison Dula. A lot of people like, starts with a G, the big hulking dude. I don't remember his name. But they like the characters that kind of go along. The Jedi are what move the story forward, because the story at the end of the day is about the Force.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the other characters that people really gravitate towards. So, and again, even then, Sabine, she's the Mandalorian in that one. She's one of the most interesting characters in the entire series, and it has, and partially because she has nothing to do with the Force. There's a part where she has to learn to use a lightsaber, and they have an incredible, and so Kanan and Ezra take her and teach her how, you know, basically what a Padawan would go through, and it's incredibly difficult for her because she's not a Jedi. She's not Force sensitive. And, like, the whole episode is about trying to, like, live around Jedi when you don't have those abilities. It's fascinating.
Well, interesting. That's enough Star Wars for now, though, guys. We're going to be right back, and we'll talk about what my hopes and dreams are for a very particular Disney Plus series as well. Welcome back to The Other Identity, guys. We're talking about what we're most looking forward to in the future of just comic book culture. What's coming out that, you know, we can't wait for? What are our hopes and dreams for it? Joe just got done gushing about The Mandalorian and yep. going on little tirades.
Tirades about bad Star Wars lore.
EU stuff that thankfully has now been retconned.
Has been eradicated.
It's gone. But unfortunately,
people got butthurt about it.
It's still in your head.
Yeah. I can't get it out of my head. You can retcon it out, but I'm stuck with knowing that stuff.
And that's the true evil.
And that's why George Lucas really is a monster.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm glad that you didn't take mine. The one that I'm most looking forward to, it is a Disney Plus series. Do you want to try and guess which one?
Is it a new series or something that's been out before?
It's a new one.
Okay, because I was going to say Gargoyles, and Gargoyles is a great answer.
What would my hopes and dreams be for Gargoyles? Because it's not a new Gargoyles.
That it inspires them to make a new Gargoyles run. Of course. By the way, did you hear there's a new Courage the Cowardly Dog being worked on?
A prequel.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Because even in Courage the Cowardly Dog, there were flashbacks when he was a pup. So
yeah, that's weird.
I don't know. Sorry, this is just as stupid as the prequel they're doing for SpongeBob.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. Yeah, I don't know about that.
But anyway, back to topic at hand.
The series that you're most looking forward to, it is a launch title?
It is. Well, no, it's not coming out at launch for Disney Plus.
So it's not The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Nope. It's comic book related, Joe. This is a comic show.
Yeah, okay. Is it the What If series?
It is not.
Okay, what is it?
It's Miss Marvel.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do we have a release date on that?
I think that we... No, actually. I think Miss Marvel, She-Hulk, and Moon Knight are ones that we know are coming. Maybe they have a year associated with them, but it's still a ways off.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about this for a few reasons. First of all, I think that superheroes are at their most effective when they're children or preteens, or teens, I guess, right? I mean, my favorite Spider-Man has always been Ultimate Spider-Man, right? In the death of Spider-Man, and then Miles as well, you know, growing up through high school and whatnot.
Right.
And Miss Marvel is another one that we're getting, you know, that really in the MCU will be the second person after Peter Parker, who has proven phenomenal, by the way. But when you have an entire universe full of adults, I think you get the most bang for your buck when you bring in a kid or a teen, because their perspective on everything changes, right?
Well, so their perspective on things is very different, because in a lot of ways they have a more innocent perspective on the world still. Mm-hmm. They have a very defined idea of what right and wrong is still. The world isn't so many shades of gray yet. But I think the other thing that's very interesting about younger people kind of in the superhero role is we can all relate to the struggles of becoming an adult. And then we can...
Which works perfectly with the struggles of also becoming a hero.
Exactly.
They go hand in hand.
Like, it's easy for us to think about, like, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, trying to balance college and work, and then being able to think, oh, God, can you imagine if you had to, like, balance being a hero on top of that? Like, there's a lot that you can relate to.
We've also heard some other rumors about it, too, that they're actually going to be using Miss Marvel to reboot the Inhumans. You know, we had figured with the... with the mutants and X-Men coming back under the fold, that they would just go, well, we're just going to go with the mutants and make her a mutant.
Yeah, I'm genuinely shocked they did.
Which, I mean, I suppose makes sense. I mean, they had tried to bring the Inhumans originally into S.H.I.E.L.D. because they didn't have the mutants. But you also have to remember that when they created the Inhumans in comics, they still had the mutants. So obviously they still served something in some way, right? So I'll be interested to see how they do that, because I was really keen on the Inhumans when it was first announced, and then it was a catastrophe. So I'd love to see a redemption arc there.
I tried to read the Inhumans when it first came out, and again, Miss Marvel is fine, but by and large, that series, the problem was it did feel like X-Men light. Like, that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, well, see, I think where the difference is supposed to be, and I'm not sure how they're going to accomplish this without making Miss Marvel feel like the Inhumans. It'll be an interesting balancing act. But the difference is that mutants have always been like the downtrodden, right? They were always the ones who were being hunted. They didn't fit into society in anywhere. And that's always what they want to do, especially with Xavier. His dream was always that we coexist. The Inhumans didn't care about that. They didn't need to exist within humanity because they were above it, right?
Right. Well, it was never their story. It is one of those weird things. Like, the X-Men are always kind of sectioned off because as a as a storytelling device, they kind of clash with the rest of like the superhero mythos. Like, how is it the X-Men are downtrodden and being hunted and having all these problems with the government, while Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and all these people
are celebrated
and heroes? They're all here. They're all the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If you have problems with mutants, you should also have problems with any type of other altered being. Basically.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I agree. But see, because X-Men were always used to put this lens over, like, you know, social justice sort of issues and what like and stuff like that.
It's the story you want to tell.
Right. And that's obviously inherently political. But I feel like the Inhumans were always political in more of, the royal family type way. Like there was always this inner politics going on with them and within their own sort of
it was a very microcosmic story as opposed to the macro lens that the X-Men
take. yes So I mean, again, it'll be interesting to see how they do that with Miss Marvel, because I feel like if you just want to use it to reboot the concept of the Inhumans and later have an Inhumans movie, I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're also trying to tell the Inhuman story within Miss Marvel, I think you're doing her a disservice. And I think that they do need to focus more on her. But I actually do like the idea and think that it's very brave of them after the dumpster fire that was the Inhumans on ABC to say that, no, she's not a mutant.
Yeah.
She's an Inhuman.
Well, it is... Because the opposite would be to say that she's a mutant, and you are basically throwing in the towel on the Inhumans. Because if you take away Miss Marvel, there's nothing left of value.
I don't know how you bring them back in.
Yeah.
And the other reason that I have such high hopes for this is I feel like Marvel is really starting to embrace the importance of Miss Marvel in the mythos. We've also recently learned a few months ago that the Avengers game that Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics is doing, that Miss Marvel is actually the one who brings the Avengers back together for the game. So, I mean, that's putting a lot of importance on a character that I know when she first came out, she had a great run. I feel like I don't hear a whole lot about her, but I definitely feel like that she deserves to be put in the spotlight.
Yeah, I mean, and her comics runs recently have done well enough. I mean, she was one of the more popular pull list items that we had in our books. Was the 2016, I want to say, Miss Marvel, 2017 Miss Marvel. So really, as long as it's been Kamala Khan, has been pretty popular.
Yeah, yeah. And we do know too that apparently Captain Marvel will be playing some role in Miss Marvel as well. In fact, that's supposed to be, I think, the next time we see Captain Marvel
is in the Miss Marvel
on the screen. Yeah.
All right, Bree.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we'd love to know what you guys think. Let us know on social medias. Even though we are taking a bit of a break after this episode, we are still out there. We are still consuming comic content and want to know what you guys want to hear our opinions on. You can always find us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. And of course, you can find Joe on Twitter at Escalia, Eskalia, and me at Robbie_Landis CP. Welcome back to The Other Identity, guys. We're talking about some of the stuff that's going to be coming out here in the next year or two that we're really, really excited for. And the final question I have for you before we wrap it up here today is, what is the next MCU movie that you can't wait to see? My answer will surprise you.
Oh, look at you and your clickbait. The next MCU movie that I'm really excited to see... I mean, just by virtue of, oh my god, I need another MCU movie, at Black Widow be a possibility.
But took mine.
Is it really Black Widow?
It is.
For you?
It is. And not because I'm excited about that particular movie. You know, I'm not like Norris where, like, I hate Black Widow. But I'm not also like, oh, you're Black Widow, right?
Yeah, you're not a Black Widow stan.
But it's kicking off the next phase. So I'm wondering what purpose it's going to serve. Because I feel like, and I know we say this about a lot of movies as they're coming out, but I feel like this, you know, given what we know so far, what we've seen so far, this could be one of the first flop. And I don't think it's actually going to be like
a
financially a flop, but this could be like the next Thor Dark World.
By
right?
the way, you see Joker is now the most profitable comic movie of all time.
Yeah, only because they filmed on a shoestring budget.
But that's nevertheless impressive. I mean, $53 million, something like that for the filming of it. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Black Widow is interesting. My problem is, a lot of the movies I'm really excited about are the ones that are a ways off yet. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, I'm excited about a lot of them, but I need to know how Black Widow fits in, right? Like, how does it, what is it going to do to get me excited for the rest of it, right? Where does it fit in? How is it going to tell this story? Because right now, I don't know what to expect from it. And in the past with movies, that has been a boon for it, right? Going in to see Solo, wasn't expecting much, didn't like the guy that they had playing Han. But the more and more that I think about and reflect back on it, I really like Solo.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that I don't walk out of the Black Widow movie just thinking like, all right, cool, that was her movie and it wrapped up her story, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
You're hoping to walk out of it kind of like you walked out of Guardians for the first time. Where you're like, maybe. Wow, holy cow, that was
maybe.
Great.
And I don't know if that's putting weird, like, reverse expectations on it or not. Again, I'm trying to go into it not expecting a whole lot. But, you know, it's the start of the next phase. Like, I feel like it has to set something up or at least introduce something interesting, right?
I would think so. I would expect this to in some ways be the Iron Man of this go-round where it's going to start the story.
Yeah, because think about this, right? At the end of Endgame, or in Endgame, Natasha was leading the Avengers.
Yeah.
She was the go-to. She was the head honcho, right? Because Cap had basically, kind of disappeared, gone off and whatever.
He was running his self-help group.
Yeah, he had hung everything up. Obviously, Tony's not around.
He has literally hung everything up.
So, yeah, everyone is looking to her. Mm-hmm. She was the glue that kept everyone together. And we know that it's going to primarily take place in some sort of flashback. We're going to see various times of her life. But I feel like what we're going to end up learning is that she has set something in motion. I think in some way she knew what was coming, not how it was going to happen or whatnot, but she knew at some point, especially because after Infinity War and Endgame, any of us can go out at any time, right?
Yeah.
And we can't rely on any one person. Like the fact that Tony was gone, who knows what sort of issues or challenges they now face not having access to his company or all of his tech or anything like that, right? So I think that it's going to somehow show us that she had some grand plan in case of emergency type thing, you know, break glass,
type deal. World ends.
And we're going to see that because I think that she considered herself, there was a quote that she had at some point that now I can't remember what it is, but you know, she looked at all the Avengers as a family. Right. And I think that she considered herself like the mother in some way. And at some point she knew she'd be gone and she wanted to make sure that everyone would be taken care of and would be safe. So I think that it might show us something that she did that sets in motion the next phase.
Interesting. I mean, I would certainly hope that something... I don't want it to be a one-off story. I don't want it to be able to be told as a one-shot effectively.
Exactly.
Yeah, it has to fit in.
You shouldn't be able to skip this one and not miss out on anything.
Correct, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think you'll have to tell me which one's coming out first because I don't actually know. It's either Multiverse of Madness or Ant-Man 3.
Ooh, with Ant-Man 3 just being put in?
Yeah, I know. That one just got slated in, and I'm not sure where. Because I don't think we have a date yet on that one. We only have a year.
I think Multiverse of Madness. Because, honestly, I don't know.
Whichever one's first will be the next one I'm looking forward to. Those, but I'm looking forward to both of them. I love Ant-Man. I love Paul Rudd.
Here's why I think you're looking forward to Ant-Man more. I think the reason it was subbed in so quickly is because I think that they need Ant-Man 3 to set up the Fantastic Four. We have rumors that the Fantastic Four already exist, and they've existed this whole time.
Okay.
All the way back to the 1960s. But they somehow discovered and went into the quantum realm, got trapped there, or maybe they're just still there. Who knows what it is, but the quantum realm is going to be used to now introduce them with their powers and all the knowledge that they already have back into the current MCU. And what's cool now is that the Avengers building, now that the Avengers are gone, can now be repurposed as the Baxter building. And Reed Richards becomes the new science mentor to Peter Park in place of Tony Stark, which then sets up the Future Foundation. Boom!
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm certainly geeked for Ant-Man 3 when you say it like that. Holy cow. But that, and I mean Multiverse of Madness, because it's,
yes.
I mean,
it
is the weirdest looking
going to be interesting
MCU movie I've ever seen.
That is going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard all types of rumors about that. For example, that they're going to introduce the grown up version of Monica, who is the I forget her name, but the little girl in Captain Marvel.
Oh yeah,
that she actually ends up dying, and that Doctor Strange finds an alternate version of herself in the Multiverse of Madness who has the Captain Marvel powers, goes by Photon, and brings her back with him into the MCU.
Oh, okay. Man, you get the best rumors. you're like what I know of bad Star Wars, you know of good Marvel.
Yeah, I'm useful.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. I guess that's one way of putting it.
So with those two rumors on the table, if you had to pick Multiverse of Madness or Ant-Man 3, which one are you picking? You can only see one.
I can only see one. What a horrible world.
You can only
world.
See one.
Ant-Man 3.
All right. Good
it's
choice.
Ant-Man 3.
Good choice.
Off Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
He's just the world's most charming father.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us today here at The Other Identity. This is not the end. I promise you we will be back in the new year with an all new, all different look as we rebirth into the Ultimate Universe. Nothing with the 52, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose you've been holding that crowbar over there for a while.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little nervous about it.
That's the other thing. We're going to put out a poll, guys, on whether or not Joe returns. And if he doesn't return, you guys get to decide how he goes out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's nerve-wracking.
So look forward to that. Anyway, Joe, for maybe the last time, take us away.
Will we get renewed for another season? Will Joe Boy return as the Red Hood? Tune in next year to find out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.